Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ana Mateo. This program is for English learners, so we speak a bit slower. And our stories are written especially for people learning English. Here are the stories we have for you on today's program. First, the education report. Jill Robbins will talk about the holidays and how to make the most of them. Then, we will hear from Brian Lynn. He talks about how a soccer team in Palestine is helping people heal. I will return with words and their stories. Today, I share my story on expressions to help you stay healthy. We will end with two stories on the pandemic. The first is from Jonathan Evans and Ashley Thompson. They talk about vaccine progress in Africa. Finally, Dorothy Gundy will talk about how the pandemic has affected the most wealthy people in the world. But first, the education report.
Holidays are a wonderful time to spend with friends and family, eating and sharing stories. Whether you are celebrating at home, waiting at airports, or spending time on trains, buses, or cars, these situations can give you great chances to learn English. Here are some ideas that you can use to improve your English over the holidays. Podcasts. The Learning English broadcast is a 30-minute daily podcast that features the audio from our main stories each day. Listening to the podcast will help you develop your ability to understand spoken English and keep you informed of news and information. Once you have finished a program, tell someone what you have learned. Tell them about an interesting story in English or your native language. Either way, you are confirming your understanding of what you heard in English. Published materials. Airports and train stations often have stores selling published materials. Buy an English language publication to read it while you are waiting or spending quiet time at a hotel or in a home. Look at the images and read the lines below them. Even if you do not understand all the words, you can use the images to help you understand some of them. Later, you can use an online dictionary to look up the words you want to learn. Conversation. While traveling, it is not unusual to see people from other countries who are also waiting or exploring a new place. If you hear someone asking for information in English, you might offer to help or simply greet them in English to talk. A friendly conversation is usually welcome as travelers share their experiences. Writing about your day. Writing about your day is a great way to practice your English writing skill. Draw images of what you see or do in your travels and look up the English words for the places or events later, if you cannot think of them at the time. Using English to describe how you spent your holiday will help you to put new words to use and make them stay in your memory longer. And you will have a wonderful record of your travel to look at long after the holiday is over. We hope you enjoy your travels this year, especially as we have spent much time at home the past 2 years. If you must stay home this holiday, you can always spend more time with us here at VOA Learning English. I'm Jill Robbins.
Thanks, Jill. Next is Brian Lynn.
A Palestinian soccer team has been formed with players who have lost limbs as a result of fighting between Israeli and Palestinian forces. It is the first Palestinian national soccer team of its kind. The players say the organization helps them deal with the physical and mental effects of their war wounds. The players come from a population that has grown in recent years as fighting intensified between Israel and the Palestinian Authority's Hamas rulers. Hamas is an Islamic militant group. One of the players is 41-year-old Ziad Abu Halib. He lost his right leg in 2008 during the first Israel-Hamas war and has been on the team since 2019. He told the Associated Press he has never missed a training session or game. "We feel we have something. We can give something," Abu Halib said. The rules are governed by the World Amputee Football Federation. Players leave their prosthetic limbs off the field and use crutches to move around. The crutches cannot be used to direct the ball. The International Committee of the Red Cross worked with the Palestinian Amputee Football Association to set up the national team. The players hope to compete with teams from other countries. They are seeking to take part in the 2022 Amputee Football World Cup in Turkey next October. This will require them to attend qualifying competitions in Iran in March. They will be able to make the trip if the border opens to permit them to travel through Egypt. Simon Baker is a Red Cross advisor and creator of the Irish Amputee Football Association. He recently oversaw the final training session of the season in the Gaza Strip. His job was to choose 20 players from a group of 47 representing different Gaza teams. They were tested for speed, agility, fitness, and also looking at the skill, Baker said. "We want the player that has everything and is also a team player," he added. Gaza is home to an estimated 1,600 amputees out of a population of more than 2 million. Baker first visited Gaza in 2019 as violent protests were taking place along the territory's heavily guarded border with Israel. His goal was to create a whole league for amputees. He spent time training players and officials and was able to organize a league with 5 teams and more than 100 players. He also started a league for younger amputees, which includes players as young as 5 years old. Baker stays away from discussing politics. He told the AP his main goal is to create an environment whereby the players come to the field and they leave the trauma behind. I'm Brian Lynn.
Thank you, Brian. And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Today, we talk about expressions that remind us to be healthy and have a healthy lifestyle. Benjamin Franklin often gets credit for some very famous healthy lifestyle sayings. Here is one about planning your day. The early bird gets the worm. Of course, we're not talking about an actual worm. This means the person who arrives first has the best chance of success. It can also mean the person who gets up early before anyone else will be more prepared for the day, and therefore more prepared for success. That is why he also reportedly said, "Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." The meaning of this expression is pretty clear. It means that going to bed and waking up early may lead to success and better health. While Benjamin Franklin often gets credit for saying this, other word experts say this expression was said slightly differently in English as early as the mid-1400s, and in Latin even earlier. Personally, I like to go to sleep early and wake up early. But what if you're a night owl and do your best work at night? Waking up really early would not be a good idea. We all need good sleep to be healthy. We also need to eat well. We have some expressions that remind us to eat healthy. Here is one: an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Some word historians say this saying first appeared in publication in the mid to late 1800s. It sounds like a very specific saying. If you eat more apples, you will be healthier. And if you are eating an apple, someone might say to you, "I see you're trying to keep the doctor away." But sometimes we use this expression as a simple reminder to eat healthy, and not just apples. After all, you are what you eat. This saying also reminds us to eat healthy. And sometimes it is used to criticize someone's poor food choice. Some young people may look like a picture of health, but if you eat too much junk food, or smoke, or drink a lot of alcohol when you're young, you might get sick easier. Getting enough sleep, exercising, and eating healthy food all increase your chances of getting a clean bill of health. A clean bill of health is another common health-related expression. It is a decision by a doctor that someone is healthy. But we also use this expression for other things that go through a difficult time but get better. For example, let's say a country's economy is doing well after a period of not doing well. Economists could give that country's economy a clean bill of health. Now, let's hear these healthy expressions used between two friends.
"Wow, you look great. What did you do? New haircut? Lose a couple of pounds?"
"I finally changed my job. Working nights at the news desk was killing me."
"Yeah, I don't know how you worked that night shift for so long."
"It was difficult. My sleep suffered, and I got no exercise. And I was eating poorly. You know how they say you are what you eat?"
"Yeah."
"Well, for months, I was one big pizza. Then I got really sick."
"Oh, I'm sorry."
"Thanks, but I'm better now. As soon as I changed jobs, I felt better. My doctor just gave me A clean bill of health.
You look like the picture of health. Here, have an apple. I have two.
Thanks.
You know what they say. An apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Hopefully, my new job will keep the doctor away, too.
Even if you take good care of yourself and look like the picture of good health, you can still get sick. Sometimes it is out of our control. So everyone out there, take good care of yourself. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo. Now, let's hear from Jonathan Evans and Ashley Thompson.
COVID-19 vaccine supplies are increasing in Africa. But administering the treatments to people across the continent is proving difficult. Health experts say successful vaccination campaigns in Africa are important to ending the pandemic worldwide. Africa's low vaccination rates increase the risk that the virus will change, like the new Omicron variant spreading in South Africa. The World Health Organization says 102 million people, or 7.5% of Africa's population, are fully vaccinated. African governments repeatedly appealed for increased vaccine supply this year. But production restrictions and storing of extra vaccines by richer countries severely limited supplies until recently. Shortages of money, medical workers, and equipment were already causing problems for vaccination campaigns in some parts of Africa. Experts warn that the expected increase of vaccines in the coming weeks could uncover those weaknesses further. About 40% of vaccines that have arrived so far on the continent have not been used. That information comes from the Tony Blair Institute for Global Change, a nonprofit policy organization. The rate of vaccine use will have to increase by 4 times the current level to keep up with expected supply in coming months, the institute says. Vaccination rates differ widely across Africa. Some health systems in relatively small nations and in North Africa are having more success. Cape Verde, off the coast of West Africa, and with a population of about 600,000, has vaccinated nearly 65% of adults. In Democratic Republic of Congo in Central Africa, with a population of nearly 90 million, the number is 0.1%. Kenya has received nearly 5 million doses in recent weeks after months of slow supplies. Willis Okwele is head of the government's COVID-19 vaccine response team. He said Kenya vaccinated a record 110,000 people on December 1st and aims to maintain that rate for the next month. He said that would bring the total number vaccinated to 10 million out of a population of 47 million people.
But the rural Sekenani Health Center, about 270 kilometers southwest of Kenya's capital, Nairobi, faces many difficulties. The center started offering COVID-19 vaccinations last month. Gerald Yayali, one of the workers there, said the center keeps running out of vaccine doses and has only one dependable refrigerator. The refrigerator is also used for other vaccines. Workers need motorbikes to take vaccines to the community. Many people are too poor to pay for travel to a healthcare site, he said. Yayali asked local officials for support for mobile vaccination and has not heard back. "We have been forced to ask the community to come to us instead of us going to them," he said. Cameroon in Central Africa had 244 vaccination centers when the country began its vaccination campaign in April. "Now there are 1,000 centers," said Cameroon's deputy head of the immunization program. But healthcare workers and officials say that power failures and a lack of workers have threatened the usability of vaccines. Leonard Quadio is head of the United Nations Children's Fund health section in Cameroon. He said the country has one refrigerated truck able to transport vaccines. He added that Cameroon needs at least 2,500 more refrigerator temperature measuring devices and more trucks to increase distribution. Mali, one of Africa's largest and poorest countries, has two refrigerated trucks to carry vaccines long distances. Conflict in the northern part of the country led some health workers there to flee their posts, said UNICEF Health Program Director in Mali, Abdul Gadiri Fadiga. Mali expects to receive about 3.5 million doses between now and the end of March 2022. That is more than two times the number it has received since vaccinations began, Fadiga said. Mali has enough storage resources to deal with the number of vaccination doses until March. But Fadiga added that the country still needs 288 more refrigerators and freezers for the future. The World Bank has approved $9.8 billion for emergency health assistance in developing countries worldwide. But so far, only $4.4 billion have been given out.
Also, some donated vaccine treatments were sent very close to their expiration date. Countries in urgent need of vaccines, including South Sudan and Congo, had to return some donations as a result. Namibia warned last month it may have to destroy thousands of out-of-date vaccine treatments. South Africa asked Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer to delay delivery of vaccines because it had too many. One major difficulty in giving out vaccines is community distrust, sometimes caused by religious belief and mistrust of Western drug companies and their governments. A lack of education about COVID-19 vaccines enables rumors to spread. That can be the result of local worker and financial shortages, health workers across Africa told Reuters. Ethiopia is worried that vaccines might expire before they are used because of low demand. The country is trying to overcome vaccine hesitancy by reaching out to communities through local religious and civil society groups, said Molukan Johannes. He is a senior advisor to Ethiopia's health ministry. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, Ashley. Finally, here is Dorothy Gundy.
A study found on Tuesday that the share of household wealth owned by billionaires has risen by a record amount during the pandemic. Millionaires are also coming out of COVID-19 ahead. The World Inequality Report is produced by a network of social scientists. The report estimated that billionaires this year collectively own 3.5% of the world household wealth. This is up from a little more than 2% at the start of the pandemic in early 2020. Lucas Chancel was the lead writer. He said the COVID crisis has worsened the inequalities between the very rich and the rest of the population. He noted that rich economies used massive financial support to lessen the increased rise in poverty seen elsewhere. The report used different specialist research and public information. The opening part was written by U.S.-based economists Obhijit Banerjee and Esther Duflow. They were two of three economists who won a 2019 Nobel for work on poverty. They wrote, "Wealth is a major source of future economic gains and increasingly of power and influence, which predicts even more increases in inequality." They were writing about what they called an extreme concentration of economic power in the hands of a very small minority of the super rich. The findings confirm what many different existing studies, rich lists, and other evidence found, pointing to a rise in health, social, sex, and racial inequalities during the pandemic. Forbes magazine publishes yearly a list of the world's billionaires. This year, it includes a record-breaking 2,755 billionaires with a combined worth of $13.1 trillion, up from $8 trillion last year. The new report showed that a wider group of 520,000 adults who make up the top 0.01% richest together saw their share of global wealth hit 11% this year. This is up from 10% the year before. It said belonging to the top 0.01% richest means having a household wealth of at least $19 million. This was set for different amounts among different countries based on what a dollar could buy. Researchers say some super rich have gained from the move to online of much of the world's economy during lockdowns. Others simply gained from the value of what they owned, which raised as financial markets put money into the recovery of the economy. The study also found that poverty greatly increased in countries with weaker government support. It found that large government support in the United States and Europe was able to deal with at least some of the effects on lower earners there. Chancel said, "This shows the importance of social status in the fight against poverty." I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Thank you, Dorothy. And that is our show for today. Thank you for listening. Some content in this program was provided by the Associated Press or Reuters News Agency. And don't forget to join us again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Anna Mateo.